Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I'm so happy to be back in the booth. I'm so happy to be in here on a Monday. Beautiful Monday morning. I don't care if you have rain clouds where you are or as clear as crystal. I'm happy to be here. So that makes it a beautiful day. Brian Hall. What's going on, my man?
I'm also happy to be here. It was a big weekend for the Cards in a lot of different ways, so it's exciting to get back in here and talk about it.
It is. You got the baseball. You got the NBA playoffs. You got the basketball. Big time announcements. You got a little shade being thrown at the University of Louisville from an outside source. But what else is new? And as a special treat for today, you're going to be wanting to stick around, people. You know what I have? You know what I have in store that you haven't heard in a long time? I got a good old-fashioned loaded cashier conversation.
Ooh.
And you know, when I have a cashier conversation ready, you need to find somewhere and be seating when it's time to go.
When are we going to be doing this cashier conversation?
Listen, I'm going to let the public decide. This is one of those days where you have so much on the docket that if the public wants to, you know, massage a little baseball talk into the show, if you want to massage a little NBA LeBron James is done talk, I'm more than welcome to do that. If you want to talk about a little McDonald's, and I'm not talking about lunch, I'm not talking about breakfast, I'm talking about one of those McDonald's All-Americans that just swooped in and stole a scholarship. Yes, I'm putting it in the phrase of he stole a scholarship. Because now, people, now, I'll give it one day. Maybe by the end of the day, I'll be picking apart that kid's game. I will be giving Brian Bowen a hard time. Congratulations on your signing of your scholarship to the University of Louisville, Brian Bowen. You notice how I congratulated Brian and not the University of Louisville, not Kenny Johnson, who was on with Drew Dean earlier. I'm going to have that interview for you. Not congratulations, Coach Patino, or congratulations, University of Louisville fans. No, congratulations, Brian Bowen, for being smart enough to accept our scholarship offer. That is the universe. We are welcoming you. We are doing you the honors of allowing you the opportunity to play basketball.
You sound like you're giving him the freshman treatment. Like, yes. Oh, hey, celebrate yes. this weekend because life's yes. about to get real busy for you.
That's what we do here. I spent all of my last week massaging his ego. I spent all last week making him into a six-star prospect. I spent all the time. Listen, I defended his hairstyle. He's the best looking guy. He's smooth the way he walks, the way he talks. I did that all last week, but now.
But now that he's signed, it's time to get down to work. Get in here. Time to work.
Get in here, you young punk, and get ready to play some basketball. No. I'm not there yet. I'm not quite there yet, Brian Bowen. But trust me, it won't be long. And Coach Patino, he's apparently not in town just yet himself. Enjoy it, young fellas. Enjoy it, because when the big dog gets back in town, it's going to be time to play some basketball. But until
then, all business as usual after that.
But until then, let's just have a little fun. Now, Brian, the conversation came up because we haven't been in here in quite a while. I had to make an apology this morning on the Nina Show. I had to make an uncomfortable confession this morning on the Dina Show. Brian, a couple of weeks ago, you had the NBA draft, the day where you must decide whether or not to stay in the NBA draft or return to, you know, to the NCAA to keep your eligibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was hating people. I was Mr. Negative Nancy. I was cantankerous Maven, any kind of name you can come up with. I was that guy. What are you doing, Hamidou Diallo? you're sitting here and waiting till the last, very last minute to decide that you want to be at the University of Kentucky or you don't want to be in the NBA. And you know what? That's just disgusting, right?
So what'd you have an apology for?
No. Right. No, and that's how I sounded when I said it. I said, oh, that's just disgusting. Diallo, you're an attention-seeking hog. Coach Calipari, shame on you. Shame on you for letting this kid do that. Shame on you for probably recommending that this kid do that, right? Even though it irked me to see him trending on Twitter all night long and Hamadou the decision. Brian, I was hater extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah.
My, oh, my, do the tables turn sometimes. My boy Brian Bowen, he tried to make this as dramatic of an announcement as humanly possible. Brian, let me give you a word of advice. Coach Pitino's going to tell you, but let me give you a word of advice. The stuff's not going to go unnoticed.
No.
Brian, I understand that, you know, you wanted to control my visit, not go public, or, you know, maybe the university wanted to keep it under wraps and all that. You know, hey, let's keep it a secret and cloak and dagger stuff. Brian Bowen and University of Louisville people, when they see your name on University of Louisville anything, it's over. It's over. I'm sorry that you didn't get to the ceremony, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted you to have a ceremony. I wanted the universe. Think about this, people. Nobody wanted this more than me. And I would have took it a step further. Like, this is confessional, but you've seen it, people, when the guy has the hats lined up across the table, right?
Decision time.
Michigan, Michigan State, Louisville, Iowa, Creighton, North Carolina, Kansas, all those hats. And I would have. And I'm not going to promise that I would have, but I would have threw it out. I would have lobbed the idea out there and kind of like Inception. I would have tried to get into this kid's dreams and plant the idea of the thought, maybe you just might want to throw a Kentucky hat up there. Player?
Just for the heck of it?
Just along that Michigan State hat. And that North Carolina hat and all those other hats, I would just.
You remember those conversations you had with Calipari?
Right.
They were in consideration.
That was recruitment. Player, if he's ever said two words to you, if you have a letter, because that's what everybody used to do in high school. If you got a letter, even if it was just a questionnaire that they send out to every senior in the state, I'm getting recruited.
Good enough.
Right. My God, if we had selfies, I would have been recruited by so many people, so many more people than I was actually recruited by, because I would have had these pictures with these logos on these envelopes that I'm getting this mail from. And I mean, this is real. Just we can offer you financial aid if you're broke, player.
Yeah.
Come to the University of Oklahoma.
Bring your talents to Oklahoma.
No, we're talking about non-scholarship letters from colleges, right?
Oh yeah, everybody gets those.
So I would have put that all over social media. But point being, people, I did want the production. I wanted the Brian Bowen production that is all the hats lined up, and I would have the Kentucky hat right beside the Louisville hat. Actually, no, you know what I would do? I would put the Louisville hat at the very end, and I would put the Kentucky hat next to the Louisville hat at the very end. So when you got eight hats lined up.
So you go to reach.
Yes. Yes. And I would reach and I would accidentally graze my fingertips.
Maybe nudge it.
Yes.
It'll move a little bit.
Accidentally knock off the Kentucky hat. Look down at the ground like I thought about picking it up and grab that Louisville hat.
That would have been funny.
And throw it on my hat. But. You can only get Marcus Maben's approval if you grab the Louisville hat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
You got to follow through with the whole
anybody part. Who does that arrogant production, that LeBron James's decision is dead to me, right?
Yeah.
It's unacceptable anywhere else.
Right.
That's what I wanted. That's what I needed. But I'm sorry, Brian, that you didn't get to have.
You got the 4 o'clock on the dot tweet, by the way. It was literally
punctuality, player.
Exactly when he said he was gonna do it.
And like, okay, so you had his name being scouted out on the university website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got our boy, our beloved Donovan Mitchell, that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the tweet?
Yeah, he said congrats to Thugs 20 or whatever.
No. Before that,
I hadn't seen that one.
There was a Donovan Mitchell tweet, and guess what it said, people? I mean, I know a lot of you listeners know exactly what it says, and you're riding in your car, and you're repeating it. Guess what Donovan Mitchell tweeted on, like, Thursday or Friday?
What'd he say?
I don't know why you're wasting your time. Go ahead and announce you're coming to Louisville. And it was chicken emojis.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Too soon to call the guy out. He hadn't
instantly removed.
Really?
Yes.
But probably somebody on the staff maybe
but
said,
"The damage
you know,
is
Donovan.
Done, Donovan." This is 2017, people. You can't throw the tweet out there. That thing had 972 retweets in 972 seconds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They had bots that were multi-retweeting. If they even have that technology, it was being used on the Donovan Mitchell tweet, right?
It went viral.
Viral, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Donovan, of course, removes it. And so Marcus is trying to stay on edge. And yes, I did refer to myself in third person. Marcus, during this time, is trying to, I still don't know. I don't know, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he's just really mad at Louisville and he really wants to stick it to. But Marcus, his name's on the university. Well, maybe he just put his name on multi-web. They can't find his name on any other website of any other university that's recruiting him. Well, maybe he's just keeping it a secret really good everywhere else. And we got the big mouth. These are all the hypothetical scenarios I'm going through because everybody's calling me. Everybody's texting me. Everybody's inboxing me. And they're saying, do we got him? Do we got him? And I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, we got a shot, but I wouldn't
Friday
bet on
change,
it.
Though.
Brian, not Friday, not Saturday. 4:03 Saturday, I said, okay, we got him. Right? Like, I legitimately was not going to. And
not two, not three, not four.
Yes, four.
Not five.
No. But the problem is, here's how sick I was with this decision. I waited. And by the way, people, if you made fun of my shoddy photoshopping that I posted on Maben939 at Twitter, or hey, could you do me a favor? Someone listening right now, if you're on Twitter, please share that photo I posted of the decision, quote unquote, the decision, the Brian Bowen decision. Brian, I know you saw that. But point being, people, even when I saw it tweeted, I did a shoddy job of that Photoshop. People, I wasn't being serious. I do know that wasn't a good-looking Photoshop picture.
You're talking about the enough said?
Yes.
Enough said.
I didn't have time to actually pixelate the photograph and superimpose it on LeBron James's entire body. I didn't have time to rastercise layers to fit it perfectly over his face and blend in the skin tones. People, I'm not an Instagram model. Point being, I didn't even believe when I saw the Brian Bowen tweet. I didn't believe it until I saw Jeff Greer confirm it.
Really?
Then it became realistic, right? Like, that's how I don't even trust the kid's account over Jeff Greer. Congratulations, by the way. Jeff Greer just got engaged.
Yes.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, friend.
Elizabeth, yes.
Hey, Jeff.
Way to go,
yeah,
Jeff.
Definitely a friend of the show. Way to seal the deal.
Yeah.
You're trapped. Ah! No, I'm just kidding.
I actually...
I'm just kidding, Jeff. You're not trapped.
The lady that he got engaged to, actually, when I went on my
wine... You dated her?
No, when I went on my wine tour right around Valentine's Day with RR Lemma, one of our good sponsors, her brother was on it. And so I got to know her brother really well because it was a small world. He was like, oh, you work in radio? He's like, do you know Jeff Greer? I was like, do I know Jeff Greer?
I got his number right here, player.
Yeah. Right. I was like, I probably talk to him at least once a week.
Talk to him more than you. Do you know Jeff Greer?
Yeah. Right. And he was like, oh, well, my sister's dating him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job, Jeff.
Congrats, Jeff. That's awesome.
Beat writer very own Jeff Greer. Yes, yes, yes. We're happy for him. I think he's finally took a vacation. Goodness gracious. Yeah. It's about time.
Well, speaking of his announcement photo, I mean, you can tell it's Photoshopped, too. I mean, his face is, like, faded compared to the other colors.
No, don't accuse Jeff Greer's photos of being Photoshopped.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Brian Bowen.
No, I know. Brian Bowen. I know. That's Brian. Yes.
But at least he's got the L right.
That's remotely Photoshopped of the LeBron. And I was wondering, would people identify that shirt and that scene? Mm-hmm. Did people know where it came from immediately?
Which one? The
Brian Bowen decision.
Yours.
Yes.
It was that from the OTL?
From the LeBron James.
That was from the decision?
Yes. Okay. You didn't. Oh man, that means the joke just bombed.
It's hard to tell what's going on.
Because my photoshopping is so bad. Well, yeah, just say it.
Well, because the guy's head's huge.
I know.
I mean, Bowen's head is huge.
I didn't feel like shrinking the sizes. Like, you know, the roller coaster. You know, photoshopping. I don't have time. I don't have a squad. I don't have a department. People. I had 20 minutes to do something. Actually, not even 20 minutes. Like 8 minutes before I had to do something. Anyway.
But yes, I do understand where you were going there.
Yes.
I'm going to take my talents to Louisville.
The Brian Bowen last minute signing, which led to my opening apology because I killed Calipari and I killed Hamidou Diallo. Mm-hmm. Let me get it right. Hami. Since everybody around here likes to act like they know him all the time. Hami.
Homie.
Yeah, let's see how many times.
My homie, Hami.
Yeah, let's see how many times. Rick and Tugs. Dude. Rick, Tugs, and Puma. Dude. I can't deal with none of that this year. Nobody come around me talking about you. Is Mama called him Clay? I'm going to call him. Right? That's going to be my attitude with Brian Bowen until he starts balling. Then you got to earn Tugs, right?
Yeah. I don't know where he got this nickname
Puma.
From. I mean,
Tugs, you got to earn that, y'all.
I think Tugs is when you throw out the door and you restart when you get to college. You're like, all right, I'm going to earn a new name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Tugs kind of seems a little, high school.
Unless he drops 40.
Then he can have Tugs. He can have whatever he wants at that point.
You drop 40 and you're Tugs. Point being, Tugs, Hami, Calipari. I hated on all of them except for Brian Bowen. But now the rookie treatment will begin. After Kenny Johnson. Kenny Johnson talks about how the you know what, people. 81-50, 93-9. I don't want to run away with the show. I got to take a quick commercial break. We're rolling along. Stick around. You got the Kenny Johnson interview. You got the cashier conversation. We're going to talk Louisville baseball, people. I told you the run is starting. And I got in early, too. I got in on the Louisville baseball right after that stock dropped. You know, after they took some Florida State losses and another postseason meltdown. I heard that coming around, you know, coming from out of this area. But the stock dropped, and I bought in big.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm feeling good about that.
Can we
pick.
Also talk about, you know, Steph Curry just kind of shaking LeBron with them handles?
Oh, no, that's. No. That goes without saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Just making sure we were going to mention that at some point.
That's just comfortable conversation. They're dominant.
Okay.
They're dominant. And I told you they're dominant. One game. Seven games. That's how much LeBron element fares people. This game's a wrap.
Real quick, you know what's really funny about the NBA Finals is even though some of these games are blowout, they're still fun to watch, in my opinion, just because there's so many good plays.
Because
is the best of the best players.
If you're not consumed, and see, this is where you get the gambling and the appreciation separation, right? Mm-hmm. People who are only worried about the result do not find this entertaining at all, right? Mm-hmm. People who like basketball still can say these are some damn good basketball players, right?
Yeah.
And so here's what's ironic about this. the gambler and the guy who's only concerned with championships and legacy, and that guy is at odds, but that guy will still say LeBron ruined the game. But it's like, people who only care about the final result is what ruins the game, mm-hmm. right? Not the player who acquiesce to the idea that it's championship or bust. It's the championship or bust guy, narrative guy, or the gambler narrative guy who only needs final results and has no, you know, has no appreciation for game. Quick commercial break. Midday with Marcus Maven. I'm too excited. We're rolling along. 8150, 93.9 is the number. I think I'm going to start with the Maven939.com. Maven939TV, sorry, at YouTube. I'm going to load that back up during the commercial break. Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
Friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maven, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. This morning, Kenny Johnson joined Drew Diener, talked about how this happened. Because let's face it, everyone was still, I'm trying to use a nice word, a radio-friendly word. Everyone was a little bit disgruntled about Coach Pitino not using that other scholarship, saying, hey, I don't like Allstark that much, or I don't like Yusuf that much. I'm not gonna use it, right? I don't understand why Coach Pitino wouldn't use a scholarship on Allstark. He can help. You know, you need some senior leadership. You need another ball handler. Who's gonna be a scorer? I don't know. Do you have that much confidence in VJ King? Do it if Danga Dale gets hurt. I heard you, and no, I didn't have to hear you. I couldn't ignore you, and now everybody's running under a rock. Now everybody's hiding. Everyone who was so critical of Coach Pitino not adding a fifth-year transfer or a grad transfer is now saying, it's okay. Good job, Coach. Hater. Fire away to that interview, Drew Diener and Kenny Johnson. Brian Hall, please.
We are pleased to be joined here on the line by U of L assistant basketball coach Kenny Johnson. I don't know how good a weekend you had, but it was probably pretty good Saturday late afternoon, Coach. So good morning, and thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, tell us how this process started with Bowen, because it obviously it happened late. What was the first inkling that you guys had a chance to get him?
Well, you know, we obviously in passing, I mean, we make it our business to kind of be familiar with the landscape of, you know, the recruiting world. So we were very familiar with them, and we had kind of poked the bear a few times over the course of the last year. Seeing if there was an interest. I mean, one thing with us is we try not to over-recruit. You know, we believe in our development skills with our players that we have on our roster, so we stay a little bit more focused on developing as opposed to, I think some programs are better at going out and trying to recruit in new players. So when Donovan Mitchell made his decision ultimately to go and stay in the professional ranks, you know, it created a little bit of a void for us. We were very confident what we had coming back, but and we knew it would take a special player to kind of be able to crack that roster. And when, you know, people in this camp reached out to us and expressed interest, you know, we moved pretty quickly to try to bring them down and see if it was a good fit.
So, yeah, when did that happen? Did that happen? I know you guys were maybe looking at some potential transfers, those sorts of things. Did that happen after you'd made that decision or before?
Yeah, definitely afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, so as he looked at it, why was he – I mean, the reasons for him being available sort of makes sense to me. It sounds like he was waiting on other schools to see who was coming back. Was that really why he was waiting so long in this process?
Yeah, you know, when you look at it, you know, if you're true to your word and you say I'm looking for the best fit as a recruit and you have the talent to do so, I mean, it's a big difference. I think a lot of people talk about how it's seems like a rare process, but, you know, not everyone has those abilities to kind of wait it out the way he did. And he really made an informed decision. When you dive into how they broke it down, you know, whether he was looking for this particular school or that particular school, I think it's more so him wanting to make sure that he evaluated everything the coaches were telling him in the recruiting process, because coaches have that unique ability at a lot of places to kind of tell you what you want to hear and, you know, well, this person's going to be gone pro and that person's going to be going pro and we're going to play you at this spot and play you at that spot. And you never really know, you're speaking in hypotheticals until the rosters actually get set. So after that May the 24th deadline for people to determine whether they're going to declare and stay in the draft or not, then it no longer becomes hypothetical, it becomes actual. And then you really start to evaluate. And I think they were waiting for that time. You know, some of the schools that they had built relationships with, the landscape kind of changed on them a little bit. And, you know, they were willing to, instead of just settling, to take a look at what would be the best possible fit for both scenarios, both the university they represent and their family and their interest. And, you know, that's when we came about.
What was the thing that sold him on Louisville the most? I mean, whether program-wise, coaching-wise, style-wise, what was the fit?
You know, I really believe that, you know, he was interested in being developed, interested in being a part of a family. You know, when you meet Coach Pitino and you kind of see behind the curtain and you understand what type of man he is, both on and off the court, and how he cares for the players and the relationship that he has with the players, you know, the open door policy that he has with the players, the fact that he's going to be, you know, he always says his number one recruits are the people who've already committed to the University of Louisville. So he spends his time each day developing these guys and working with them, you know, through individual training and in practice, and that's where he's at. You know, he's not necessarily flying around the country chasing after the next guy. And I think the fact that he knew he would have somebody, you know, more invested in him than anywhere else he could be, you know, really attracted him.
Kenny Johnson with us here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680. So with that in mind, was it important for him to see an individual workout session or whatever contact you guys were allowed to have with the team last week? Is it important for him to see some of that with his own eyes?
I think it was important for him to understand what we were all about. You know, our visits are pretty cut and dry. I mean, it's a real experience about what's going to happen while you're at school. I mean, you know, there isn't very much fluff. I think the fluff in itself, with the way that the fans love the team and the program, the community support, the way the university itself supports the program. I mean, obviously, we think we play in the best arena in the country, and we have the best facilities. And I think once you get here and you kind of identify all those things and you have an open mind, you know, and you couple that with the team we have coming back and the chemistry that the players have, I think him being around the guys, I mean, the guys in our program sell themselves.
And
it tells itself as far as how they interact with each other and care about each other.
Well, it's interesting what you said. I'll go back to something you said at the start, where you're not just constantly out there over-recruiting. I mean, as much of a talent as you know that he is, I imagine you wanted to see, and Coach Pitino wanted to see, how much of a fit he was with the guys to be around him, right? I mean, because that's like you say, it's not like this has been necessarily the philosophy recruiting-wise. The fit had to be a key for you guys as well as for him.
Yeah. That's one thing that when I first met Coach Pitino, back when I was considering the job and he was offering the job, the first thing he told me is that, you know, he feels like he works at the best university in the country, and we have the best program in the country. And one thing we're not going to do is sacrifice character for talent, you know, for the pursuit of adding talent. He wanted to just bring in good, high quality character kids at this stage, especially in his career. So and identifying Brian, obviously, as a talent, you want to get to know him as a kid and see if he fits. I mean, there's been guys we brought in here that have been great talents who haven't been great chemistry fits. And when you meet the young man, because he's been pretty guarded, you know, over the course of his recruiting process, where he's not just – you can't just get to him. You know, he has a great family support system. So you interact with him, and you see that he's just like VJ King. You know, he's just like Malik. He's just like Donovan Mitchell. I mean, this kid is – going to be a fan favorite because of how he interacts and how he conducts himself and how he carries himself. So, you know, that was the thing that was most exciting for us is, you know, identifying the type of kid that he was and being able to see what he was all about.
What about on the court? What excites you there about his skill set?
Oh, he plays so hard. I mean, I think a big recruiting tool, you talk about length and athleticism and shot-making ability, but one thing that we put a big emphasis on is being a year-round winner. You know, we want players that know what winning is all about and that are going to be able to bring a winning, come in with a winning attitude. And the fact that he wins and he expects to win, that's very attractive. The fact that he plays so hard, which has turned into a skill set now, used to be something that was commonplace, but his nature, his competitive nature, obviously he's a great shot maker. I mean, he's proven that over the course of time. You know, he has great length and athleticism, so the versatility to both play multiple positions, but more importantly, guard multiple positions is key for us because we have great versatility on this team so far. So you don't want to bring in a one-dimensional player. You know, you want to improve his ball handling and help add things to his game to turn him into an elite-level player and hopefully can help him achieve his goals of making it to the level after hours one day. But I would say that just his competitive nature and the fact that he's a winner.
You know, it's interesting. I guess we're going to hear the term positionless basketball a lot. I'm just imagining, since you have a lot of guys at the same position, it looks like the same position anyway, in King, Adele, and him, are we going to hear that term a lot this year?
Yeah, I mean, it will be a fact for us. I mean, you want to give these guys the opportunity to play a complete game, and that's one thing that I admire so much about Coach is he doesn't come in with the – obviously, we're known for the defense that we're going to play a little bit, and that's never going to change. But – from an offensive perspective, he doesn't have a system that requires players to fit into what he does. He shapes and molds what he wants to do offensively based on the personnel that he has. So, you know, this year we're extremely versatile, you know, wing guard position. I don't think you have to look – no one – you know, we don't want to compare ourselves to the Golden State Warriors, but you look at what they do from the way they operate
what if technology
and flow with the basketball.
But gave us the power
the
to turn
– to pass the ball and move the ball is – what's going to allow us to do, you know, a multitude of things.
Yeah, because it looks like you do have a number of those. Can he play – I mean, how many different positions can Bowen play?
You know, I'll be wait to be definite on that until he actually gets in the gym and we start working with him. But if, you know, in watching him and evaluating him, I see four positions out of him.
Interesting. Even – so is that – is that 1 through 4 or 2 through 5 that you see?
Definitely 1 through 4.
Okay.
He won't be down there wrestling with the Grizzly Bears.
No, I don't think so. Now, where does the name Tuggs come from? Because everybody seems to refer to him as Tuggs. Do we know the origin of this, or are we going to have to wait until he gets to campus to ask these questions?
He'll tell the story better, but I asked his mom, and I know it started at birth. You know, I think he came out and was tugging on the doctor and pulling on the doctor So.
Oh, this was early. This is moments after birth where this term comes from, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And he's actually Brian has actually done a couple school speeches about it, so I'm sure he'll have a great story to tell.
Oh, interesting. Kenny Johnson's here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680. You do have a number of new players this year coming in and that sort of thing. I mean, so is this summertime to get these guys playing with one another? Is that – I would assume that there's tremendous value and a necessity of that with the number of faces that are going to be meshing together.
Yes, the summer is all about our strength and conditioning. I mean, we plan on being year in and year out the best conditioned team in college basketball, and that starts in the summer. You know, obviously you have freshmen that you're going to be relying on this year to contribute in a major way, so you want to try to speed up their learning curve with the fundamentals of the program, you know, and kind of help them learn how to play basketball, understand spacing, you know, perfect some of the skills, whether it be passing or shooting. But in addition to that, you want them to have that transition from a physical standpoint. Adding weight, getting stronger, or cutting weight, you know, toning up your body fat, but more importantly, getting them that first exposure to high-level conditioning, you know, and learning what it means to be comfortable, you know, while being uncomfortable, learning to kind of feel like you're hitting that wall and being able to push through it. So,
yeah,
I think that's what the summer for us is all about.
And it sounds like, I mean, we had Donovan Mitchell on Bob Valvano's show last week, and it sounds like VJ King is at least a guy who was taking a lot of that to heart. Mitchell talked about the fact that he flies in at midnight and asks VJ where he is. He's like, I'm at the gym working out. I mean, it sounds like there's going to be plenty of competition, and that's good for everybody, but the reports of VJ King's offseason sound pretty positive so far.
Yes, definitely. VJ is taken in his first year and you know, in the mode of Terry Rozier and Donovan, he really has high expectations for himself, and he's putting forth that I call it sweat equity. Mm-hmm. You know, he's showing it as opposed to talking about it, you know, and really getting after it in the gym. So he came back early, didn't take a break. He was going to go home for you know, that month break. He spent about 2 days home and decided he wanted to come back and took an additional summer class. So he's been here working, you know, since 3 days after he technically was supposed to be home. So he's extremely motivated. He's stepping up his leadership role. You know, he's taking a freshman under his wing. And, you know, he was the first player to call and ask for Tug's phone number, you know, after he had made his announcement. So, you know, the guys are excited. The guys are working hard. They have their eyes set on a great prize, a great team goal, and they're going after it.
Well, Kenny, we certainly appreciate the time. Congratulations on the get. What a coup this late. I mean, you ever been involved in something this late? I mean, this is pretty unusual. I mean, it makes sense, but like you said, the explanation, but this in June, these things don't typically happen. You ever been involved in anything like this?
No, it makes zero sense. they're excited for it. You know, it's the law of averages. Sometimes you live with guys for 2 years and they break your heart. Sometimes you recruit them for 2 days and they make you look like great coaches.
Yep. Well, congrats on it, and we appreciate the time and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 81-50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. A little bit of Kenny Johnson, a little bit of Drew Deaner, a little bit of giddiness. I dare to say, I mean, it's got to be nice. It's got to be nice when your reputation recruits for you. Think about what just happened, people. I just played an interview with Coach Kenny Johnson, Associate Head Coach Kenny Johnson, who we also had on last week, by the way. I talked to you about the culture manifesting in recruiting, right? Like, this traces back to, of course, the Sivas, the, you know, the Russ, but let's just say with Damian Lee, right? Damian Lee, a couple of years ago, had a great pulse and a great influence on the team's attitude overall. Like, he was the first guy to start talking about, you know, they're not afraid to say they love each other. I mean, that came out of the football team. That came out of the basketball team. It sounded cliche. Ask anybody who's ever been in the locker room. They wish they had told each other or told their teammates they love each other a long time ago, right? Mm-hmm. This is the type of team that does that. You know what happens? You get a guy, just like if you heard what Kenny Johnson said. So this is a little bit of insight into the type of kid you're getting. When asked about the recruiting process, Kenny Johnson talked about this kid being guarded. Right? And then when you get closer to him, you find out he's just like VJ. He's just like Donovan. He's just like the kids you have now. Right? Year-round winner, guarded by a good, strong family, and wants to be here. That's the five-star McDonald's All-American that you sift through to get instead of over-recruiting, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, the comment about the guarded family is actually a positive in my mind.
Yes.
You know, it's something that, you know, the fact that he's hard to get a hold of knows that he's not, you know, scheming with coaches and all that. So
which clears up the idea that he wanted to have. Think about this, people. He has been a guarded recruit the entire recruiting process. I know what you were thinking, because I was thinking the same thing. You see the hair. You see, you know, he's a good-looking guy. You wonder how much of that is pre-Madonna. You hear about him wanting to keep his recruitment under wraps, or the university wanting to keep the recruitments under wraps. We all thought the same thing. Oh, no, one of those. Mm-hmm. One of those five-star McDonald's. But then you realize, after listening to Coach Johnson, after, you know, having it the blueprint laid out for you, you start to realize these parents had to protect him because they know he's focused on his basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very personable, mm-hmm. right? The idea that Coach Johnson said he's gonna be a fan favorite because of the way he interacts with people. That's the five star you want. That's when you can put your criticism of the 4 o'clock thing. Listen, I had fun with it too. And I made fun of Hamidou Diallo, and I made fun of Calipari, and I wasn't there going to make fun of Brian Bowen until he put his name on a dotted line. But if you were worried about him being that kind of kid, that's the interview you just heard that takes away that worry. That's why he wanted to wait and have his one bit of recruiting moment in the sun. For a McDonald's All-American, he is the least publicized out of all of them. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like, you heard the least about him. I mean, listen, Michigan State, but when you start saying Creighton, right?
DePaul?
Mm-hmm. That's a guy who's into relationships, mm-hmm. not into a Izzo, a DePaul, a Creighton, are relationship-centric, you know, psychological things for a recruit. Once you see that, that's when you kick the tires. Yeah. That's when the scientific data that Kenny Johnson is obviously familiar with starts saying, now, hey, this may be the guy. I mean, even listening to him talk about the way they recruit, he gave you a glimpse into the we have confidence in our ability to develop a player over going to get just talent and then balancing out attitudes. This is one of the first times they really said it publicly. We're not worried about just the raw talent. Our development, we look forward to developing talent instead of recruiting it.
Yeah, and I've heard from several different sources that he's the guy that doesn't like the spotlight. And that's what a lot of people were worried about. They thought that he liked it. And also, yeah, and then you're talking about him looking at, like, schools like DePaul and Creighton, and it's yes. no offense to those schools, but
no, yeah, it is.
It shows that...
it is. No, it's offense to DePaul and Creighton. You yeah. can't choose DePaul and Creighton over Louisville. Stop it.
Well, it shows that he's not enamored by all the lights.
Like, yes.
I have to go to that big school. I'm yes. a five-star McDonald's All-America, and I have to go to the Dukes yes. or Kentucky's or whatever. You know, no, I'm okay. I'll go visit DePaul. I'll look at Creighton, you know. He wanted to find the best situation for him. Not necessarily worried about tradition and name and getting the exposure.
And even better, coach, what are his strong points? What do we get in him? He plays extremely hard. When someone says playing hard is now considered a talent, a skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
To your first addressing of him as a player is how hard a kid plays. I mean, that's not just a sports thing. That's a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who gives it up, guy who sacrifices, that stuff matters. And talking about the family atmosphere is what wooed him, right?
Mm-hmm.
The closeness of Coach Pitino, open door policy. Like, that wasn't coach speak. That's why people a month ago, when you heard about the Jalen Johnson situation, that's where you knew there was the most sting behind closed doors, right? Like, everybody handled everything with class and, you know, on up and up. And, you know, it went well, mm-hmm. right? For the worst possible situation, it went well. But you knew if Coach Pitino puts all that pride in his open door policy and his family atmosphere and his personal relationship, and he didn't hear about the Jalen Johnson situation, you can see why it stings that much more than where maybe another coach who doesn't have quite the personal relationship or the team that's not quite as tight. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, you go to the team and say, hey, did anybody know about this? No, coach, none of us knew. Okay, well, then this is a rogue element. That's been the narrative for the last 2 years. The things that we don't know about are purposely hidden because there is a open door policy.
Yeah.
Now, again, parties are parties. That's a closed door policy. Outside of that, though, the family atmosphere actually landed a kid. How wonderful is that?
You're right, though. I mean, kind of this Bowen thing is kind of an eye-opening thing for a lot of Louisville fans because it's something that I think a lot of Louisville fans wanted from the start when Pitino got here, that we were going to be landing these type players all the time. But it goes back to your point. When the scandal happened, a lot of people were worried about how it would affect recruiting, what is really going on behind the scenes. And I think landing a five-star like that, hearing some of the comments that he makes about, you know, coach has an open-door policy, you know, and then
even knowing VJ King is still here.
Yeah. And then,
they played against VJ last year. They know how good he is.
Yeah.
Knowing he's still here working hard.
Yeah. And so it's a thing where I think that's really, as a Louisville fan, I look at it as a real program positive.
Yes.
Because everything seems to be moving in the right direction. We're putting that behind us and we're moving forward.
Yes.
And
yes. Yes.
I always want to remember, too, that a lot of people, you know, are really enamored with the Romeo Langford. And I understand that. I mean, sure, we definitely want him. But this kid, Brian Bowen, he went out and put up 27 against Romeo Langford when they played.
27 is low numbers for high schools, though.
That's okay, though. I'd take 27 any day.
You got to drop. Go give him 40. You're going to impress me.
All right.
But, people.
But, hey, but maybe they're buddies, and maybe that'll help them.
No.
We're dominating
animals.
The state of Indiana
they're
right
not,
now.
Right.
We got Malik Williams.
Right.
We got Brian Bowen. Now we're going to go get Romeo Langford. Come on. We're just taking everybody from IU.
Uber mad. Uber salty after that. But, people, we're just getting warmed up. I got a cashier conversation for you on the other side. Get ready to talk your baseball. Get ready to decide if you're cheering for the University of Kentucky or not. Think about that one. I can hear these wheels spinning. 81-50, 93.9. Get ready to call in. Roll along here on 93.9 The Ville.